home again. It's him and Andesia and Anjana Shlakaya. Chakshunli Tamina Tazma Shri Kudavena Maha. Jai Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda. Sri Advaita Gadadha Sivasi Gaur Bhaktavinda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. We're continuing our discussion of Sri Dharmadharashtaka, and we're doing the fifth, as well as we'll do the sixth shlokas today. Tomorrow we'll do seven, or maybe seven and eight. The last day of Kartik is Wednesday, which is also the Rasa Purnima, the day we celebrate Krishna's performing his Rasa Lila. That's the last day of Kartik. Idam te mukam bhujam janta nila Vritang gunta laish nigdarak taish chagopya Muhush chumbitam bimbarak tadarang me Manasya verastam alam rakshalabhai Idam te mukam bhujam janta nila Vitam kunta lai snigdaraktais jagopya Muhush chumbitam bimbaraktadarang me Manasya virastam alam lakshalabhai Ajanta. Seek chant. O Lord, your lotus face, which is encircled by locks of soft black hair tinged with red, is kissed again and again by Mother Yashoda, and your lips are reddish like the bimba fruit. May this beautiful vision of your lotus face be ever manifest in my heart. Thousands and thousands of other benedictions are of no use to me. This verse describes something most enchanting, in fact, supremely enchanting. Everyone likes the feeling of being enchanted by something or someone. This material world offers some flickering enchantment. There seems to be something here, but you never find it. That's why it's called Maya. There seems to be something titillating, something attractive, but you can never get a hold of it. You know, I like to give the example of grabbing smoke. If you've ever sat around the campfire late at night and tried to grab the smoke, capture it in your hand, you know how futile that is. You grab again and again, and every time you open your hand to see the substance you have there, it's nothing there. You can do that all night. And of course, all you wind up with is a sore arm. You think there's something, I'll grab the smoke. Yeah, I've got it. Then when you look at it, there's nothing there. There is something mesmerizing, something enchanting, bewildering about living in this world. That's why Prabhupada uses the expression, the spell of Maya. You can just imagine a witch casting a spell on you. It's like something takes hold of you and you begin to see things that aren't there. You begin to hallucinate. There is a glimmer of enchantment in this world because this world emanates from Krishna, who is Padma Manohar, the supreme enchanting person. In the spiritual world, there is unlimited enchantment. Maybe you remember when you were a little kid and you know, there was some kind of books for kids or even places at amusement parks called the Enchanted Forest. Anyone remember that as a kid? Yeah? Where is that?
I think if you had a maze, a maze would be enchanted.
Yes. You did you read about the Enchanted Forest when you were a kid? What, a book? So it sounded fascinating, right? The Enchanted Forest. You go into the forest and all sorts of things happen to you and magical things happen. Maybe you see fairies or gremlins or, you know, grinches or whatever. Krishna is the unlimited eternal expert at enchantment. How does he do it? How does Krishna enchant you? With his form, Paramarupa, the supreme form. Just by the way he stands, bent in three places, captures your mind eternally. The movements of his eyes, the words that he speaks, his smile. The gopis of Vrindavan, they complain, so to speak. How can anyone resist these things? This Krishna is a thief. He steals hearts. Now we get some particulars about the Padma Manohar, the supreme enchanting person. We're going to learn in this verse how to long to see Krishna's face. That is what this verse is presenting, the longing, the desire, the hankering to see Krishna's face. Sri Mukha. Everything about Krishna is of the highest respect. Therefore, say Sri Mukha. When you put Sri before something, it means most venerable, most respectful, most respectable. Sri Mukha. There's so many faces. Lord Brahma has faces. He's known as Chaturmukha, four-faced Brahma, in this universe anyway. In other universes, the Brahmas can have many more heads. But because this universe is small, the Brahma just needs four heads. And then there's Panchamukha, Lord Shiva, who's five-faced. But when we're talking about Swayam Bhagavan, Krishna, the original personality of Godhead, when we talk about his face, we say Sri Mukha, the face that is attractive. In this verse, we learn how to develop our attraction for Krishna's face. We get to hear about it. What does Krishna's face look like? Idang te mukam bhujamachyanta nilai vitang kuntalai snigdarataish chagopya. First of all, idang. Idang refers to that supreme enchantment, the face. It's mukam bhuja. It's a lotus face, fully blossomed lotus flower. That is what Krishna's face can be compared to. Actually, there's no thing that gives you an idea of Krishna's complete beauty. But because the lotus flower is the most beautiful thing in the material world, Krishna is described as having a mukambhoja, lotus face. Face like a fully blossomed lotus flower. And what else is there about that face? Ajanta Nilaya. There's hair, which is very dark blue. Vritam kuntalai snigdaraktaishcha gopya. Surrounding that face, there's this very dark blue hair. And what else about that hair? Just see all the details you're getting about the Supreme Personality of Godhead. His lotus face is surrounded by dark blue hair. Kuntalai, which is curling. Snigda, it's glossy and soft. You can think about Krishna's hair now. Vritam kuntalai snigdara taish jagopya. Not only is it soft and glossy, but the hair is, the ends of the hair are tinged with red. This is a style now. Lots of ladies are going around with red tinged hair. It's the flavor of the month, is that it? Krishna's beauty is natural, purely spiritual and eternal. Vritam kuntalai snigdhara taishcha gopya. You get this picture of Krishna's face, the fully blossomed lotus flower, surrounded by the curling dark blue hair, soft and glossy hair tinged with red. The Shastra gives the example that just like a lotus flower is surrounded by buzzing bees, similarly Krishna's face is surrounded by curling locks of hair that bounce up and down when he moves. All this information is given so you'll meditate on Krishna's face, Krishna's hair. Such satisfaction you'll get because everything about Krishna is supremely enchanting, because he's the supreme enchanter. Try to meditate on your own face or the face of your dearest beloved in the world. You don't get the supreme peace. You don't get the supreme enchantment. But this prayer, Sri Damodarastika is presenting Krishna's face, which captivates the mind. Just by looking at Krishna's face, you become relieved of all distress. You know anyone? Any so-called dearly beloved who can just look in their face and be relieved of all the stress of material existence? There used to be songs like that, of course, in the 50s and 60s. But, you know, it never happened, you know. You can never look in the face of a conditioned soul and feel relief from all material distress. Just one look. Just let me have one look. In fact, one look in the face and you're more deeply entangled in Maya. Because you think, I am this body, you are the body. In this way, the problem of body identification becomes multiplied. Once you start thinking about Krishna's face, that is completely different. Of course, how is it that you begin looking at the deity? You don't directly look in the face. You always begin by looking at the feet and then raise your vision upwards. That's how you approach a respectable person. Muhus chumbitam bimbaraktadarang me. Next, you're hearing about Krishna's face being kissed again and again. Muhus chumbitam. Who's doing that kissing of Krishna's face again and again? It's the gopi. That gopi mentioned in this verse, Chagopya, can refer to Mother Yashoda, but in a more confidential way, it refers to Srimati Radharani. Muhus chumbitam bimbaraktaranam me. So you can visualize, meditate on Krishna's cheeks being kissed by Mother Yashoda. And what about Krishna's lips? Bimbaraktaranam. His lips are reddish like bimba fruit. In Vrindavan, there's so many exotic fruits and bees and birds and trees and flowers. So the bimba fruit is reddish, and Krishna's lips are compared to be red like that. Manasya virastam alam lakshalabai. So the prayer is saying, I don't need any other benediction. They're all useless. Just let me have this vision of Krishna's face, Sri Mukha. Krishna's face is composed of pure spiritual mellows. Looking at his face relieves all material distress. He becomes supremely enchanted. Now in the next verse, it's a very emotional verse, but you may not be able to pick up on it, not knowing the Sanskrit. This next verse is described as the Mula Shloka, or the root, the heart of the eight prayers. And in this shloka, the heart is crying out. It's a very emotional, pleading verse. Namo Deva Damodara Ananta Vishnu Prasida Prabho Dukkha Jalabdhi Magnam Kripa Drishti Vrishyati Dinam Batanu Grihani Shamam Agyam Ekakshadrishya. First of all, this verse is appealing. Appealing for the Lord's mercy through the process of Nam Sankirtan, chanting of the holy name of the Lord. That's why there's so many names of the Lord in this verse. Namo Deva, Damodar, Ananta, Vishnu. Also, Prabhu. That refers to the Lord. And Grihanesha, that includes Isha. This is Nam Sankirtan. The Lord has primary and secondary names. The primary names refer to his confidential pastimes. Shamsunder, Krishna, like that. And the secondary names refer to him as the creator. Things in relation to the universe. Namo Deva Damo Dharananta Vishnu. O Deva, O most beautiful one, Damodar, let us glorify you for becoming submissive to your devotees, Vrityavasyata. Damodar, one who's bound around the rope of the belly, we're glorifying you because you agree to come under the control of your devotees. Ananta, you have unlimited potencies. That means unlimited mercy. Therefore, certainly you can be merciful upon me because you're Ananta, the possessor of unlimited mercy. The Nam Sankirtan continues. Vishnu, you may know, means all-pervading one. But there's a confidential meaning. Not only does Vishnu mean all-pervading one, but in Vrindavan, Vishnu means one who's pervading, hidden away in various caves in Vrindavan, performing your pastimes. Namo Deva Damodara Ananta Vishnu Prasida Prabho Prabhu. My Lord, it's a personal reference. Give me the prasad, give me the mercy. Why? Look at my condition. Dukkha jalabdhi magnam. I'm submerged, magnam, in the dukkha jala. What is the dukkha jala? It is the network of suffering. Network of dukkha, pain. I'm merged in this ocean filled of networks of sufferings. You have to get me out of this, please. Not because I want relief from material existence. No, my concern is I want to see your lotus face. Not that I want to escape material suffering. My concern is separation from you. That is the point. We already discussed in preceding verses, Vadam Deva Moksham, Namoksha Vadimva. I don't want all kinds of liberation. Whether freedom from material existence or living in Vaikuntha. So when this prayer is describing the material condition, Dukkha Jalabdi Magnam, it's not begging for freedom from material existence. It's citing or describing the material condition to show this is how dejected and forlorn and lost I am. So you kindly give me your glance of mercy. Kripa Drishti Vrishyati Dinam Batanu. Just glance upon me. That's all. Not rescue me from material suffering. No, just glance upon me with that Sri Mukha, that beautiful face. Just look at me. Be pleased upon me and cast your glance upon me. Because I'm immersed in an ocean of worldly sorrows. The ocean of worldly sorrows can be analyzed on two levels. It can mean the ocean of action and reaction, but it can also mean the ocean of separation from Krishna, not seeing Krishna. Grihane shamam agyam ajakshadrishya. You are the Isha. You are the controller. Therefore, you can agree to be merciful upon me. You're independent. It doesn't matter. You can rescue anyone you want because you're the Isha. So certainly you can deliver me so that I'll always be enchanted by your loving pastimes. Because you'll find out in the next verse we'll discuss tomorrow. It's like, Kuvaratma Jo Badamurtaiva Yadva. If you can deliver Manigriva and Alakuvara, certainly you can deliver me. Please give me the same thing. Give me that prema bhakti you gave them. You're the Isha, you're the controller. You're supremely independent. You can give your mercy to anyone. You've already demonstrated that to Manigriva and Alakuvara. Now demonstrate it to me, please. So this verse is a very emotional cry. Some of the Sanskrit words are very deep emotion. Bhata means like, alas, you're crying out in a very woeful condition. And the Nam Sankirtan, the holy names of the Lord, are chanted in that mood of complete dependency and begging, complete acknowledgement of one's fallen condition. Lord Chaitanya had recited a similar prayer in his Shikshastaka, Eight Prayers of Instruction. Ainanda Tanuja Kinkaram Patitam Mam Vishame Bhavam Budo. What's the next one? Kripaya Tava Pada Pankaja Stitta Duli Sadrasam Vichintaya. O son of Maharaj Nanda, Nanda Tanuja. Patitam Mam Vishame Bhavam Budo. I've fallen deep into this horrible ocean. I've been submerged into that ocean by the force of my karma. It's my fault. You don't see in any of these prayers they're blaming Supreme Lord. How did you do this to me? How could you arrange this for me? No. I'm in this ocean, this horrible ocean, Vishame Bhavam Budo, because of the force of my own sinful reactions. I'm begging you, please pick me up and place me as a particle at your lotus feet. Padadulit. Give me that mercy. So these are transcendentally desperate prayers. I don't know if you all have ever been desperate. Anyone ever been desperate? Like in the, I don't know, in the Western movies, they would call outlaws, desperados. You know that expression, desperados? Desperate guys who just do anything. So these prayers are in the mood of desperados. Namo Deva Damodara Ananta Vishnu Prasida Prabhu Prabhu Prabhu, give me the prasad. Give me the mercy. Nihanesha mam agyam ejakshadrishya. My problem is agyam, ignorance, so much so that I can't solve my situation. That realization is necessary. On my own, I can't get out of this mess. Oh, yes, I've been nicely educated at the Polytech or the university. So nicely educated, I don't know who I am, and I can't get out of this mess. That's ugyam. Still, I'm begging you, become visible to my eyes. Ajakshadrishya. So both the prayer by Lord Chaitanya and this prayer in Dhammadharastic refer to the ocean of material existence, the ocean of suffering. Dukkha jalabdi magnam, submerged and pushed down by the weight of your own reactions. And Lord Chaitanya describes it. Aina nasujikinkaram patitam mam vishame bhavam buddha. Vishame, horrible ocean. I'm pushed into it by the weight of my own karma. Bhaktivinoda Thakur describes the ocean of material existence very nicely, how you're drowning in it. First of all, there's the big fish, the big sharks of lust, anger, and greed ready to gobble you up at any moment. But that's not all. There are the tossing waves of false hopes, foolish, wasted hopes, and unnecessary anxieties. These are like high waves in the ocean, tossing you back and forth. But that's not all. There are the gale storm winds of bad association. Now, how are you going to deal with all this? This is the ocean of material existence. The big fish, the sharks waiting to gobble you, the lust, anger, greed, and envy. The tossing waves of wasted hopes and unnecessary anxieties. And in the gale storm winds of bad association. It is a hopeless situation. And then sometimes, Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, you see some seaweed floating on top. Would you grab a hold of that seaweed to save yourself? He says, so similarly, sometimes the conditioned soul tries some mystic yoga or pious activities or dhyana, metaphysical knowledge, trying to solve the problems. Of course, that's in pious times. These days, no one tries karma or jnana or, you know, or mystic yoga. Forget it. So what happens if you're drowning in this kind of ocean and you grab onto some seaweed? You just go down. So that is the hopeless situation in the ocean of material existence. Therefore, this Dhammadharastic prayer is crying out, my Lord, all you have to do is shower your glance of mercy upon me. You know, like when you go into the shower, you turn on the water and psh, comes out. So this prayer is begging, shower your glance of mercy upon me. That's all I want. Then I'll be delivered. Become visible to my eyes. This is the cry of the desperado. Coming right after the enchanting description of Krishna's face, kissed by Mother Yashoda, or confidentially by Srimati Radharani, the red lips like bimba fruit. Prahlad Maharaj also talks about the ocean of material existence. Prahlad Maharaj shows you how to have the heart of a Vaishnava. So many times devotees ask me, can we do for you? That's very wonderful, they're asking. What can I do more to serve Krishna? Well then, study the heart of Prahlad Maharaj as contained in his prayers to Lord Nrsingadev, especially when he says, Naidvo dvije paradaratya vaitaranyas tvadvirya gayana mahamrita magna chitta shocheta tova mukacheta sa indriyarta mayasakaya param udvahato vimudhan. He says, my Lord, Nrsingadev, I've got no problems. I've got no fears. I'm not afraid of material existence. Why? Tvadvirya gayana mahamrita magna chitta. Because I'm always swimming in the mahamrita. What is the mahamrita? The nectarian ocean of glorifying Krishna. So since I'm always swimming in that mahamrita, that is our desire for you all, that you'll always swim in the mahamrita of hearing and chanting about Krishna. That's why I like it when everyone gathers and just chants Hare Krishna. You should make that your life and soul, not that just a few do it and the others are out doing something more important. Prahlad first describes his situation. I'm not afraid. I'm got no problems. I'm well established in the Mahamrita. But then again, I do have a problem. You see, this is the heart of the Vaishnava, simultaneously happy and unhappy. For me, I have no problem, but because of the others, I have a problem. What are the others doing? Shoche tato vramukache tasa indriyarta. I'm lamenting because of these fools who are unnecessarily suffering in material existence. How do they unnecessarily suffer? By making a false burden. They labor hard planning how to carry a false burden. You can imagine if we had a big meeting now, we all made plans and discussed how you could carry a plastic bag filled with air on your shoulder. How to struggle under that burden. Be foolish. Well, this is what Prahlad Maharaj describes. Maya Sukhaya Bharam. The false burden of Maya Sukha, material happiness. You're making so many plans. You're racking your brains how to carry an unnecessary burden. Therefore, Prahlad says, I'm simply thinking of them with love. He's showing what the real standard of love is. I'm simply thinking, how can these people be rescued? They're planning, how to get out of, how to escape material suffering, but their plans will never work. They tried to counteract this suffering with something else, and that with something else still. All you get is the hard labor you expended, but you cannot counteract material existence with material plans. Not possible. Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, Dukkhalayam Shasvatam, this material world is temporary and miserable. We say no. It's Sukkhalayam. It's a place of happiness. So many times people come here and say, oh, life's only a problem if you see it in that way. Just be positive. I think I told you. When I was at University of Melbourne, we had this engagement. 200 people came about stress. And afterwards, some students came up to interrogate me. And there were these two young lady students. They came up to ask questions. You know, well, you know, what's the problem with time? Time is just how you see it.
If you want to be in anxiety about the passing of time, you'll be in anxiety. But if you just, you know, look at it another way, then it's something else. And they were just kind of just, you know, saying all this kind of stuff. It's what you make it. It's how you see it, you know. They were just, meanwhile, they were just, you know, moving very frivolously and just, yeah, it's just time, you know, whatever you see it, that's what it is. And meanwhile, around them, there are like a lot of our Indian congregational members. They all have video cameras, so they were all, yeah, now we got it on film, you know, the degraded students dialoguing with the Swami. So there were the girls just going on like that. Time is just, you know, what you make of it, you know. Just be with the moment, whatever it is. So it went on like that for about 5 minutes. So finally I said, okay, what do you do with time? They just looked at me like I was a fool and said, what do you do with time? Eat pizza. This is a university. Prahlad Maharaj says, I'm thinking of these people with love. How to deliver them. And what does he say in the next verse? Praina Deva Munaya Swava Muktikama. He said, I see that there are many saintly persons, but they hide out in the Himalayas in solitary places. They don't go near the cities and towns. They're concerned, not only concerned, but lusty, swava mukti kama. They're lusty for their own liberation. Very selfish. Praina Deva Munaya. My Lord, this is what I see, but that's not where I'm at. I want to be in the big cities and towns where the people are. Because they're suffering so much. I don't want to go back to Godhead without them. I don't want to go back to Godhead alone. This is the heart of the Vaishnava. So you can meditate on these two verses by Prahlad Maharaj. Any questions? Prahlad says, I'm simply thinking of them with love. This is the standard of love. How to get these people to give up their foolish plan making. Making plans that will not work, will not stop material suffering and anxiety. Can't be done on a material platform. Making plans how to carry a false burden. They burden themselves. This is your family. This is your society. This is your world. Feel the burden. Why? To reject that burden doesn't mean you become heartless and irresponsible. If you reject that burden, that false burden, and then take up your responsibility to serve Krishna, that's the only solution to the problems. The problems can't be solved on the material platform. It's like Guru Vani used to tell us about life at her charity. Everyone knew they can't really solve the problems, right? But it was, you know, but you still, you felt kind of good about yourself that you were engaged in a futile struggle, you know, more than other people were doing, right? Yeah, you're making a wage, but at least you're, you know, as Prabhupada said, you're blowing on the boil. You know, you ever had a boil? Anyone? Anyone here ever had a boil? Yeah? So try to solve the boil by blowing on it. So people get a sense of false pride through their philanthropic activities, their charitable activities. Even though, as Guruvani said, the staff, they know this is not really going to solve the problems. But anyway, we're helping. Hey, we got to make some money, and this is a better way to make money than anything else. And who knows? You know, there might be some good that comes out of it. Anyway, at least we've helped somebody for a few minutes. They can feel helped before they submerge once again in the dukkha jala abdimagnam. They become immersed, pushed down by their karma in the ocean of suffering. We helped them to brush their teeth while they were going down. This is how Maya operates. Maya confers upon you a false sense of value because you're helping people to pretend they're solving their material problems. Prahlad Maharaj is not so foolish. He has real love. He says, I'm thinking of these people with love. Therefore, I'm not going to hide out in the Himalayas simply being concerned with my own liberation. I'm going to stay in the big cities and towns where the people are. I'm not going to go back to Godhead alone. That's the heart of the Vaishnava. Srila Prabhupada most exemplifies this mood. That's why we cling so tightly to his lotus feet. There are other Vaishnavs. You may even hear about them from time to time. This Maharaj, that Maharaj. But none of them shows the path of pure love and compassion as Srila Prabhupada did. That's why we stick to what Prabhupada gave us. Not because we're sectarian and fanatical, but because we want to preserve that mood of pure love. Which Prahlad Maharaj demonstrated. I'm simply thinking of them, how they're suffering and making false plans to carry a false burden. Sometimes other Vaishnavas come from India and they know that Prabhupada did such an extraordinary, incomparable task. So they make it their line that, yes, yes, we knew Prabhupada in India. We were Prabhupada's favorite. Yes, Prabhupada, he's our Siksha Guru. And then they tell you, and actually, you're Prabhupada. He wanted us to explain to you things that he could not explain to you. So you just come with us. We'll automatically give you the high taste of rasa and everything will be fine. Srila Prabhupada was very different from that. And he'd also get angry at that kind of thing. So therefore, it's not because of being sectarian that we keep our doors closed to that kind of thing. It's because of preserving our family heritage. We are not great, but our family heritage is great. Our inheritance is great. Srila Prabhupada gave us this mood of Prahlad Maharaj. He exemplified it completely. So even in the name of Radha Krishna Leela, we don't want to become selfish. What to speak of, you know, impersonal liberation. In this age of Kali, you show your Gopi Bhava by preaching the glories of the Lord. Once there was an argument in Los Angeles in the 70s. One devotee was preaching that when you sing every morning, Nikunjayuna Ratikeli Sigaya Yayali Bhir Yuktira Pekshaniya, the spiritual master is engaged in making arrangements for various rendezvous in Radha Krishna's loving pastimes, arranging for devotees to be with Krishna. So this devotee was saying how this shows that the Sankirtan devotees, they are participating in this nectar, arranging for people to be with Krishna. Just like in Vrindavan, Krishna has various devotees who arrange for him to be with his confidential devotees. This devotee was preaching like that, and so there was a big argument. Some devotees thought, oh, this is too far out, you know. You're just trying to come up with anything to get devotees to distribute books. You know, how does the most intimate activity of the spiritual world have to do with book distribution out on the streets and shopping centers? And Prabhupada heard about the controversy. Devotees wrote him, and he replied, yes, this is correct. Book distribution is in the mood of the gopis arranging meetings with Krishna. This statement, many sadhus from India who are not absorbed in Prabhupada's preaching spirit, when they don't have his extraordinary realization, they become bewildered when they hear these kind of things. Selling books? How is that the activity of a sadhu? Just making money. But because Srila Prabhupada understood Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur better than anyone, he could present this highest understanding of how preaching the glories of the Lord is following in the footsteps of Krishna's intimate devotees. Any questions?